inside, let's begin this week. This week is Parashas Bereishis, obviously. That's a new start. There are 54 parashas in the Torah, and here we are, parasha number one. Parasha. The truth is, for a few things. Number one is this parasha, not only is it the first, every time you begin something, it's chaviv, it's precious, it's special. The first time you begin something new, but it's also one of three very special Shabbosos. And those Shabbosos are the Shabbosos we refer to in the Nusach Tzila on Shabbos Kodesh. Ato Kidashta, Es Yom HaShvi'i, is the Nusach we use for, we begin Friday night. Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelka, the Nusach of Shabbos Shachris. And Mincha Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad, the Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos Matan Torah, and the Shabbos D'L'Osid Lovay. And this week is the Shabbos. This week is the Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishis. Now, for this week's parasha, we should be aware, has a special connection to Leil Shabbos, being that every single week of the year, we focus on Shabbos Maaseh Bereishis. We focus on the Shabbos of Maaseh, which is, appears clearly here. This is the parasha. So this week, Shabbos Bereishis is not just a special Shabbos, but it has a unique relationship to Leil Shabbos, because it is the Nusach of Tefillah that we recite every Leil Shabbos, drawing from what it says here in Shabbos, the Mice of Maaseh Bereishis. Okay, now, it is the minhag in Klal Yisrael for Rabbanim to darshan every Shabbos on the parasha, to find something in the parasha that relates to current events. That's what used to be the real tafkid of a Rav, pulpit rabbi. Today, that style has changed a bit. In the more right-wing world, the Rabbanim are not expected, and in fact are not advised. They don't know about current events. If they know about current events, the Balabatim don't want to hear about it. They know themselves. They already. They have a smartphone. They know what's going on. It has become the expectation of a Rav instead to give Divrei Torah, just to speak Divrei Torah, Chidushim on the parasha. Don't bring current events into the Beis HaKnesses. But that's a deviation of Minhag Yisrael. Minhag Yisrael used to be that was why you need to hire a Rav that's head and shoulders above everyone else in the community. A person that's a koyach, it's a very great siyat d'shmaya, talent, to go and look in the parasha and to see, to take something which is very important that's happening in the community and to draw from the parasha what to do. Hadracha. Hadracha. There's a decision that has to be made. It can be a decision who to vote for. So what is Das Torah? So hafoichba to kulaba. If the hashkacha protest, the election comes out in this week's parasha, there's a decision to be made in this week's parasha. It must be that in this week's parasha there is a message. There is a message. There is something to learn which will give us instructions and guidance what to do. This used to be the derech, and it still is in many communities. It is. That's really what the tafkid of a pulpit rabbi is. That's next week. It's Tuesday of a parashas Noach.
Yeah, it's actually a parashas.
Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha.
Yeah, in other words, get out of here.
Lech Lecha. Okay. But it's very interesting. For hundreds of years, this is the tafkid of a pulpit. You go to shul, the Rav is expected to speak about something that is relevant in the community, in the world, in Yonah D'Yoma, and draw a lesson from the parasha, hafoichba dekulaba. Again, unfortunately, in this generation, that has changed to some degree among the right-wing world. Not totally, adarabba, sometimes they do it. But it has definitely the expectations and the demands of the Balabatim is, you know what, the Rav, you're not right to tell us what to do. So instead, tell us a good Dvar Torah on the parasha. This concept, what?
You meant fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately, I mean, whatever. Okay, whatever it is. To each his own. That's not a. Now, this concept of what exactly is the role of a Rav and the role of a pulpit drasha appears taught to us. It's a beautiful machshava in this week's parasha. It's meruvas. It's a hint. It's a drush in this week's parasha. After Adam and Chava, the eighth and the eighth sadas, the pasuk says, let me just find the pasuk. Vatipokachna eine shnehem, okay, their eyes were open, vayeduki erumim hem, vayisperu alei seina, vayasulam chagoros. And then the pasuk says, vayishmu, they heard es koil, the sound, Hashem Elohim mishalech bagon liruach hayoyim. Now, what is gon? Gon means in the garden. But gan is also the code word for the 53/54 parashios in the Torah. I told you there are 54 parashios, which is correct. That's what we have in our Torah. But in the Zohar and in all rabbinic literature, Torah has only gan parashios. Nun is 50, Gimel is 353 parashios, and there's a ton of Torah explaining what happened to 54. Simply, we do not count the Zos HaBracha, because the Zos HaBracha is not laid on Shabbos. There are probably 10, 20 answers explaining why the discrepancy between...
Only in Chutz
Yaretz, right? Only in Chutz Yaretz. Says, well, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a guarantee. It's only when Simchas Torah falls out on Shabbos, then you get in 54. But if it's not on Shabbos, it can happen. Most of the time, it's not on Shabbos, so then it's only 53. Okay, that's not the point. There are many, many answers why it's 53 and it's not 54. But it's one thing is clear, that in rabbinic literature, all coming from the Zohar, there's a concept, it's Hashkocha, there are Gan Parshios. Now, that's the way we divide it. Now, I never counted, but supposedly there are Resh Ayin Hey, 275 parshios in the Torah, psuchos and stumos. Right? You have to count every time you have the parsha. That's what it says at the very end?
The end is also Zohar, gives you the whole...
Okay, so what does it say there? Supposedly it says there are Resh Ayin Hey. Resh Ayin Hey is the same gematria as Ruach Hayoim. Ruach Hayoim is the gematria 275. So here we have a very beautiful remez to this Minog Yisrael.
Okay, Minog.
Yeah?
Minyan HaPesuchos, Al-Bur Shaloshim, 34, Astumas Meya Be'esrim Be'arba.
No, so isn't it up then?
Akol Meya Be'chamishim U'shmona Parshim.
So Reish...
No, maybe in the barn.
Okay, I think there's a misur that there's 275. Resh, let's trust that for the moment. I saw this in more than one place. Resh, Ayin, Hey, Parshios in the Torah. So now we have a very beautiful drush. This is not my varn. I saw this in a safe. I don't remember where I saw this. Being Merames to the Minog Yisrael, Rabbonim, Hafeichba, Hafeichba, Dekulaba, Vayishmu. They heard.
It's not going to work out.
Okay, we have to. No. So even if you don't have that part, that part's not relevant. Okay, don't worry about it. Ruach, no, not kol. It's supposed to be very accurate. There's something. Okay, I didn't really spend time delving into, but I'm certain it's accurate. Whatever it is.
Here it says 669.
What? Psuchos and stumos in the entire Torah?
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so let's leave out that part for the moment. We don't need that. Okay? We don't need that for now. Let's leave that out. No gematrius. Let's forget the gematrius. Adrab, no less gematrius the better. Just the beginning words. By Yishmu, they, who is they? Klal Yisrael. Heard. Es koil Hashem Elokim. The sound, the voice of Hashem. Does Hashem speak to us bizman hazeh? We don't have Nevi'im. Bizman Shabbos Yisrael Oisim Mitzvah Nishol Mokim, Hashem sent us prophets. So where do we have communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us what to do? The Pasuk says, Vayishmu, they heard, Klal Yisrael heard, Eskol, the voice of Hashem Elokim. Where do they hear the voice? Mishalech, traveling Bagon, in the Gan Parshios. Hashem's koil can be heard when we travel, when we are mishalech in the Gan. The Gan are the Gan Parshios of the Torah. As we go through the cycle of the Gan Parshios, and we have a question, we have a dilemma that bothers us, we need to make decisions, we need hadracha, you can hear, if you pay attention, you can hear the coil of Hashem Elokim as Hashem is mishalech, as he travels through the Gan Parshios. A makar for the Minog Yisrael to draw from the Parsha a teaching for Klal Yisrael throughout Edges. It's a very beautiful, thing to remember, especially it's a very good opening for Parshas Bereishis. You open up the Parsha, what is the purpose of coming to hear a Rav speak, give a drasha? It's very relevant. The Rav has Siyata Deshmaya, he's telling you things, but again, what's going on. I personally like those drashas better. I like to go to a shul where, you know, they're going to tell you, you know, take something from current events and, you know, give us hadracha from the Parsha. And if you do that, there's a siyata d'shmaya. The Rav is given siyata d'shmaya, especially when the oilam is mevakesh, to have a derech to go forward. Okay, let's go to another yisod in the beginning of the Torah. Rashi opens up the Torah, the first Rashi we know, Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm not going to focus on that now. The second Rashi, Bereishis Bar. This is another very cute drush. Very cute drush, and then I'll tell you something a little more serious. But Bereishis Bar, so Rashi begins, Ein ha-nikra hazeh oimer ela darshuni. This mikra is only speaking to us, and is telling us darshuni, telling us, interpret me. Bereishis Bar Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the shamayim v'aretz. In other words, the question is, why did the Torah choose the word gzuntayt, reishis? Why did the Pasuk choose the word reishis more than over other words, other candidates? Batachila bara Hashem es hashmaim. Barishoin bara Hashem es hashmaim v'es aretz. There are many other words that could have been used to begin the Torah. Or how did they when they translated the Torah when they translated the Torah into Greek, they reversed the order. Bara Elokim Bereishis. Or Elokim bara Bereishis. We would have expected the pasuk to begin with the word Elokim. Elokim bara es hashamayim v'haretz. The usage, the word usage, we take it for granted, we're brainwashed into reading the pasukim so many times, but really, if we were given the test to write the pasuk, we would not write the pasuk in this fashion with the word, the opening word, Bereishis. So why then does it begin with the Bereishis? So Rashi says, Ein ha-mikra hazeh oimer ela darshuni, there's something over here that's out of place, that's missing, and therefore the pasuk is begging us to extrapolate, to darshan, to expound upon the meaning. And then Rashi, we have a comma over here in the article, they're very good to us, they put a comma, and then the Rashi goes on to say, so what then is the answer? Oh, the answer is, Kima she'omru Rabbi Seinu zichronim levracha b'shvil ha-Torah shenikreis reishis. The drush is, the reason why we selected the word reishis, because reishis is a code word for the Torah. And the purpose, bereishis means with the Torah, with it, b'shvil, for the purpose of the Torah. The world was not created as a ends to itself. It was created for a purpose, and the purpose is that the Torah should be fulfilled. Now, the way I translated this Rashi is the typical way you would translate the Rashi, where you put a comma after the word Ela, Ein ha-mikra hazeh oimer Ela darshuni comma. Okay. Now, I just mentioned before that it's the minhag Yisrael for Rabbanim to darshan. Unfortunately, not every Rav is qualified to darshan. Some Rabbanim, they interpret the Torah in some very strange ways, which is not Das Torah, which certainly does not have the flavor of Yiddishkeit. People, they make out of the Torah, unfortunately, they read things in the Torah, which certainly does not appear. So therefore, the Bali Darshanim, say, you have to put the comma in the right place. So this is, again, this is not a serious smart, but there's truth to it. Ein ha-mikra hazeh oimer ela darshuni kimo she'amru Rabbi Seinu zichronim levracha. When the pasuk says darshan me, it's telling us, please darshan me like what Chazal said. Don't darshan me whatever you want to say. To darshan, I don't need a license. To darshan, you can do whatever. Everyone's going to anyway darshan me. But the pasuk is saying, so now it's very good, because bereish, and that's what Rashi goes on to say, bereishis. When you begin to expound upon the Torah, it has to be done with reishis, with das Torah. Don't read into the Torah, every pasuk in the Torah, every crazy, insane concept that you want. The psukim of the Torah have to be understood and expounded with the traditions of Rabbi Yisenu Zichronim Levracha, being that the first word is Rashis, so Ein Hamikra Hazeh Oimer Ela Darshuni Kimo Sheomru Rabbi Yisenu Zichronim Levracha. Okay, that is an interesting little drush that opens up. You have to be very careful when you say a drush on the Torah has to be according to the traditions of Yisrael Saba. Okay, another idea. I saw this in the Sefer. It's a very interesting idea. Rashi always in the Chumash tells us, "Ani loy basi ella lefarish." My goal here in Chumash is only to give you the simple interpretation. We once had a shiur on Rashi. What was Rashi's agenda? And the basic yisoid is that until Rashi came along, there were two schools of thought. There were people who darshin rabbanim talmidecham who darshin every pasuk in the Torah only lefi drush. Every single thing in the Torah is meant to be taken as a mashal. Not everything even in the Torah happened. There were dreams. Everything is in a vuah. And when it says in the Torah, lifnei evil osite nichshol, it doesn't mean that put a stumbling block. Maybe in a chanam, if you put a block in front of a blind man, you potter. It means don't fool a person in misleading him, misguiding him. Nothing in the Torah is meant to be taken literally. Everything in the Torah is meant to be taken al derech drush. And then there were those who interpreted every single pasuk in the Torah literally. No room for drush. Anti-drush. A school of anti-drush. There are plenty of people out there like that today. They don't want to know from drush. They want to know only Rambams. Everything is lamdis, but don't give me don't put any drush. Rashi was unique. He was novel in that he put both together. Rashi took the best drush and the best pshat, and whatever fit into the pasuk the best, that became the primary interpretation of Rashi. Rashi was the first person to do something like that, to say elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, to select whatever made the most sense in the pasuk, and that became the primary pshat. But Rashi many times says there are two interpretations. Sometimes you have a pasuk which could be interpreted literally. You know, Rashi many times says there's only way to interpret this pasuk is figuratively. And there are many times where Rashi only gives you the simple translation of the pasuk, does not give us any deep insights into the pasuk. But very often Rashi tells us that there are two interpretations of a pasuk. There's a very simple interpretation, and there is a drush. There is a figurative interpretation of the pasuk. It's a mashal. So you would expect, when you have a situation where you have both, you have a pasuk which can be interpreted literally and can be interpreted figuratively, what would you expect Rashi to view as the primary translation? The literal translation. It has to be noted here, I'm not telling you a full idea, I just want to bring out a point, it has to be noted here that Rashi, in the very first Rashi, at the beginning when he talks about Rabbi Yitzchak, that's really a hakdama. That's not really the very first Rashi. That's Rashi's introduction to Chamishei Chumshei Torah. That's a cover that Rashi gave to Rabbi Yitzchak, when people say it's his father. It's not necessarily true. His father, it was really Rabbi Yitzchak Medrash. It's not as people say that Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. The Olam says that Rashi wanted to give cover to his father. So therefore, the very first thing that he wrote in the Torah was a var that his father told him. That's very nice. It sounds very nice. And Rashi, his father's name was Yitzchak. But in the Medrash, the one who says this, Maimer Chazal, Koyach Mas, Higiliyama, was Rabbi Yitzchak. And that Rabbi Yitzchak who said this was certainly not Rashi's father. So it's very far-fetched to say that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak is Rashi was referring to. So maybe he had him in mind also, but the Rabbi Yitzchak is a Tana in the Medrash. But in any event, that first section is the Hakdama. The very first Rashi is what we just began, Bereshis, Eina Mikra Zeh Oim El Darshuni. First Rashi gives a Jewish, Kimash She'amru Rabbi Seinu Zichon Levracha, B'shvil HaTor Shnik Reshis, Darkoi, U'b'shvil Yisrael Shnikru Reshis Tevuasa. And then then Rashi says kipshutoi. If you want to translate it literally, kach pershu, this is what it means. It means that towards the beginning of creation, Hashem created the Shemayim Laretz. Okay, Rashi is coming to disagree with the Targum. I'm not going into that now. Rashi gives us a simple translation of the pasuk. It means with the common translation of Bereshis means in the beginning. The one that translates the pasuk as in the beginning is Targum Unkelus. Rashi says Bereshis means towards the beginning. In the How do you have a look at an English article? They translate it like that. Towards the beginning of Shemayim Baaretz, towards the beginning, Hashem created the Shemayim and the Aretz, but the Shemayim and the Aretz was not the very beginning. There was something before that. Okay, that's another thing. But the point I want to make over here is that look at what's going on over here. Rashi is novel in his approach to translating Chumash. Sometimes it's only Drush, sometimes it's only Pshat. And that's unique. Rashi is selecting the best. And sometimes Rashi gives us both. The very first interpretation that Rashi gives us on the Torah is something which has both Dirush and Pshat. If you were given the task to put them in order, it's more likely you would put in order the Pshat. The Pshat. And yet Rashi begins with a Drush. Ein ha-mikra hazeh oimer ela darshuni. Rashi here is coming to teach us, don't discount Drush. Drush is something which carries a lot of weight. There are some sukkim that only can be interpreted with Drush. And there are some sukkim that can only be interpreted with Pshat. But we have a tendency, okay, present company included, that when you have a pasuk that has both Pshat and Drush, is, oh, listen, let's look at the Pshat. Let's not get carried away with Drush, because Drush is something which is not for everyone. That's not what Rashi's first lesson is, that even when you have a Pshat, still the Drush at times comes first. And take a lesson. Drush is typically a moral teaching. It's a moral teaching. There's something to extrapolate. There's something to apply to your life. Take that very seriously. Don't just read the Torah as a textbook, a record, an historical record of an event which took place. This is an observation. It's an observation I saw Sefer, which is something very significant. It's a very significant observation. You have Pshat and Drush, and Rashi is selecting the Drush before the Pshat as his opening chiddush on Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Okay, let's go further. Let's talk about my liberation. Let's talk about the creation of Adam. There's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi here says that when Hashem created Adam, Adam was created from the Shemayim and from the Aretz. Let me jump ahead to the creation of Adam. Vayitzer Hashem lokim es Adam, ofar min ho Adama. Okay, so the part Rashi here says...
2:7,
okay, Pasuk Zion. Wait, where are you? Okay, Perik Beis, Pasuk Zion. Vayitzer. Okay, this Vayipach Ba'apov. Okay, it says in the Pasuk Kadosh Baruch Hu, He created Adam Ofar Min Ho Adam, earth from the ground. And vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Rashi writes, asohu min hatachtoinim umin hu elyoinim. Hashem created man from the tachtoinim, from the lower world, and from the elyoinim. Guf min hatachtoinim uneshama min hu elyoinim. The guf is from the tachtoinim and the neshama is from shamayim. Why? Why was it necessary for man to be made up of these two parts? So Rashi says something very bizarre. Lefi, shabiyoim rishay nivru shamayim v'aretz. On the first day, Shemayim was created, and Aretz, equal. They were partners in creation, heaven and earth. Basheni, Bara Rokia Alu Elyonim. On the second day, only something in heaven was created. The Rokia, the firmament, was created. Not so the earth got jealous. The earth, now it's two against one. Bashlishi, Teiroe Haya Boshala Tachtoinim. So therefore, on the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to compensate, had to balance the scale by doing something that applied to the earth. Borevi, on the fourth day, Bora Me'oirois, Hashem created the luminaries, Lo Elyoinim. So now it's three against two. Therefore, Bachamishi Yishritzu Hamayim LeTachtoinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sea creatures, something which is in the lower world. So it comes out equal. 3-4 Shamayim, 3-4 Aretz. Now it's Yoim HaShishi. Shabbos, Hashem is off. Hashem is on vacation on Shabbos. There's only one day. So whatever Hashem is going to do on Yom HaShishi, someone is going to complain. If Hashem will create man from Shemayim, the earth will complain. If Hashem creates Adam from the earth, then the Shemayim will complain. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate diplomat, the ultimate politician, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create man from both Shamayim Baretz, Huskak Hashishi Li Boros Bo Buel Yoinim Uvatachtoinim. And that's why man is a product of the Ofer Min Hoadama and is a product of the Imla. Now look at this. This is a very powerful word. These are very powerful words. If Hashem would not do this, Yesh Kino B'Maseh Bereishis. If Hashem would not have done this, there would have been jealousy. Kina. Maseh Bereishis, sheyiyu elu rabim al elu bibrias yoimechad. One would have had more than the other. So it comes to something very fascinating, that the creation of Adam was the creation. Kadosh Baruch Hu took into consideration the creation of Adam, the jealousy of Shamayim Varetz. Rashi here is teaching us that there is a constant battle between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. The Elyonim feel that they are superior, and the Tachtonim feel they are superior. And there is a constant battle, struggle between these two, and in order that there should be no kina, Adam was given the koyach of both the Shemayim and the Tachtonim. Now, I believe Rashi is saying something very, besides the Pshuta Shel Mikra, there's drush here as well. A person in this world struggles. A person yearns for spirituality. That is a reality. Every person in this world yearns to come close. Ki kirvas Elohim li toiv. David HaMelech said, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is good. There's nothing more delightful in life than having a high level of spirituality. But on the other hand, we all know good and well that you like to enjoy yourself in this world. There's nothing more pleasurable in this world than having a good meal, going on a good vacation, enjoying this world. There's a constant struggle. There's a constant struggle. Which one of these two will dominate? Will the base nature of man pull him down to a world of Gashmi? Or will a person follow what is right and achieve spirituality? There's a constant battle. There is kina b'maseh bereishis. Built into the creation of man is the koyach to synthesize, is to take away the kin of Maaseh Bereishis, is to make shalom between Ruchnius and Gashmius. In other words, the tafkid of man is not to ignore the Gashmius.
And it's in the beginning there should be already kin.
That's what it says. That's the chiddush of Rashi. The chiddush of Rashi between in a person himself, there are two parts. There is Ruchnius and there is Gashmius. The tafkid of man is to make peace between Ruchnius and Gashmius, to sanctify the Gashmius through the Ruchnius. The tafkid of man is not, like in some religions, is to lock yourself up in a monastery, to lock yourself up somewhere all alone and just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or, tafkid is not for a person to be a Baal Taiv and run after his Taivus. In the Umos Olam, there are most of the world, the Kula Gashmi. There's no spirituality at all. And those that believe in spirituality, they believe the only way to do it is to, well, it has to be 100%. You a priest can't get married, you have to abstain from anything of pleasure in this world. This is wrong. The creation of man is the essence built into the DNA of man, and man's creation is Ofer Min Ho'adama and Nishmas Chaim, in order that there should not be kina b'maseh bereishis. The tafkid of man is to enjoy this world. Chazal say, for every good thing in this world that a person did not enjoy, he will have to give din v'cheshbon. If you have an opportunity to go on vacation and enjoy yourself, and use that enjoyment, channel the simcha that you have from that enjoyment to avodas Hashem, to use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you fail to do so, you will be held accountable. And of course, a person has an obligation to make shalom. Built into man's creation, built into his DNA, is the obligation to make peace, to settle the kinah in Maaseh Bereishis. It's not just three against three, what Hashem created on day one, day two, and day three, and day four, and day five. But within every man himself, there is elements of Shemayim and elements of the Aretz. There is a constant struggle, a constant kinah, and it's man to make peace. And the way man makes peace is he channels all of the pleasure he has from Olam Hazeh for the purpose of Kiddusha. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in the creation of Chava, of Isha. Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put man to sleep, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardeimo al Adam Vayishon. He fell asleep. Vayikach Achas Mitzah Lo Yisav Vayiskor Bosar Tachtena. Hashem took one of his ribs, he closed up the Bosar in its place. And then it says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim Es Hatzila Shalokach Min HaAdam Leisha Vayiviecha El HaAdam. Vayoymer HaAdam. When man sees this woman, as we always say, man does not say anywhere that he woke up. Man is still in a dream. When man sees this woman, he says, "Zois hapan etzem me'atzamai ubasami b'sari lezos yikorei isha." I'm going to call this woman, this creature, an isha. Why am I going to call her an isha? Ki me'ish lu kocha zos, because this creature has been extracted from a man. Therefore, since Ish is spelled Aleph Yud Shin, and this woman has been extracted, so it's only fair that this creature share the same Shoresh, the same basic letters as the Ish, so we'll use Ish, but we'll add a Hey to go from Ish to Isha. Rashi comments on this Pasuk here, Pasuk Chof Gimel, L'zos Yikorei Isha Kime Ish L'shoin Noifel Al Loshoin. It's an expression. We are extracting letters from one word to another word. How do you do this? Do you do such a thing? In other languages, other ancient languages, all languages, when you invent a new object and you want to give it a name, do you look at where it came from and take those letters and manipulate the letters and make a new word? That's not the way things are done in other languages. All secular languages do not employ this concept of Loshoin Neufel al Loshoin. Okay, we have to understand exactly what that means, but Rashi is telling us a fact. In secular languages, this concept does not exist. This concept is unique to Loshoin HaKodesh. Loshoin HaKodesh, the only place you have this concept. And since Adam HaRishoin is now employing this concept, here is this creature, she came from me, I'm called an Ish, so we're going to call her an Isha. It must then be that the blueprint of creation was done with Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, so you have to, what does it mean in English? Where does English come from? But we have to trust what Rashi says. English is a modern language. Okay, let's not, but Rashi makes this concept that there's no such language which employs Lashon Neufel Lashon other than Lashon Kodesh, and Rashi's words are Mikan. These are very powerful words. Mikan, from here we derive something which to us is so basic, it's so fundamental, we would never imagine otherwise. We have been, Baruch Hashem, we are brainwashed with all the Mamore Chazal that the world was created with the 22 letters of the Alephes, and everything is a Maimor with Marals and Rambans, all those these concepts. Mikan Shenivre Ha'olam B'Loshoin HaKodesh. So if someone will ask you, how do you know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayihi Or, how do you know that Hashem said the words Vayihi Har in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh? Maybe Hashem said Yihi Or in Latin, maybe he said in Greek, maybe he said it in Spanish, whatever language, and it just happens to be that it was translated over here into Hebrew, Aramaic, and it was translated into Hebrew when the Torah was written. Or maybe it was said in some other code language, Morse code. Hashem somehow communicated with the Bria in a language that's beyond our understanding. That's very logical. Maybe there's some type of divine language that Hashem spoke to create the world. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the same language that we understand? That if we had been there, we would have heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. You know how you know it? You don't know it from a Zohar. You don't know it from a Ramban. You don't know it from a Maral. You know it from this pasuk here. From this pasuk here, when Adam Chava was created, Chava Adam saw the creature, and he said, "Look, where did you come from? You came from me. Ki miish lukachazos. Therefore, I'm an ish. You're going to be called an isha. Mikan shenivrei sa'olam b'loshayin hakodesh."
Actually, all you see from here is that Adam was speaking
Russian. Adam was speaking. So, okay, you have to. Okay, I hear what you say. Adam is speaking, but obviously there's more to it. Let's.
The beginning of the Sefer Yetzirah. That's the opening couple of chapters on Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayehi Or, that the Aleph and the Resh actually created life.
Okay, that's the Makor here. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's all Adam that spoke, but I guess Adam over here, the fact that Adam is using this language, yeah, we have to understand what it means. But Rashi over here is making a very powerful statement. To fully understand the depth of Rashi, I don't know, but these are the words of Rashi. Now, I want to make an observation, a question. Isn't it amazing, the Hashkocha Pratis? The coincidence? You go through the entire Maaseh Bereishis, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yulei, it's a very long Aliyah, the first Aliyah. You go through the Maaseh Bereishis from beginning to end through Shabbos. There is no Zecher that the world is being created with sanctity. As far as we know, the world was created as a very dull, the Hashem hid the world. The Hashem concealed the fact that the world is being created with sanctity. Well, maybe there was no sanctity. It doesn't say anything that was sanctity. Hashem created this, created that, day one, day two, day three. There is no zecher whatsoever that the world was created with kedusha, with holiness. The first time we discovered that there's holiness in this world, that the DNA of this world has kedusha, is basically stage two. The world was pretty much was created, let's assume, even though everything happened on Yom Shishi, but really it's not. And then, oh, we left out, so the world is finished, pretty much. Even though you have to excuse, Shabbos didn't happen yet, but pretty much the world is created. Oh, we left out some moldings. Oh, we forgot about Chava. All the creatures have a Zivugim. Adam doesn't have. Okay, so let's now come back, call back the contractor, have him come and fix something. We'll make now a wife for Adam Harishon. We'll do a surgical procedure, take out the rib, and make a wife for Adam Harishon. It's not even stage one of creation. It's stage two of creation, and now there is a Giloy. And let's go to stage three. Stage two is over. Adam Harishon arrives on the scene. He sees. He observes what happens. And now it's revealed to him and to the world. It must be that the whole world was created with kedusha. The coincidence, the fact that the Torah was megal, the Torah chose to reveal that the world was created with kedusha at such a late point in time of creation, specifically in regard to Adam's hakara, recognition of Chava, is something very interesting. There's no mention in the entire Maaseh Bereishis the world was created with an expression of holiness. We would have been fooled to think that there was no holiness. It was a mundane creation. And then even when Hashem created Chava, also, it's mundane. It's only later when Adam comes to be makir, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for him. He gave him a wife. Now the Torah reveals there's kedusha. And if there's kedusha here, it must be that there was kedusha from the very beginning of Maaseh Bereishis. What is the Musar Haskel? What is the Musar Haskel? There's something very special about the relationship of a man and a woman, man and wife. What a person sees in his wife, a person can live his whole life. You hear these stories. People, when they get married, they become very different, for better or for worse. For better or for worse. But a person, you live your whole life. Okay, it's a nice world. I see things the way I see them. I'm impressed. Be it as it may. And then when a person gets married, okay, this is what people tell me. But when people get married and they have a wife, all of a sudden they, through their wife, ki mi'ishu lukocha zos, through the experience of seeing their wife brings out the best in them, they have now a whole new perception of the world. A new perception of their wife, of their relationship, of Kiddusha. When a man gets married, what does he say to his wife? Hare at mikudeshesli. Simply means you're designated. But there are other words that Chazal could have used for designation. The fact that they said they chose the word mikudeshes means there's Kiddusha. Why do we say Hare at mikudeshes? Because the first place in the Torah where Kiddusha is revealed, Lashon, Noifala Lashon, is when man comes to realize, hey, you're my wife. Where did you come from? You came from me. Okay, I told you, I don't know what this Rashi means exactly, but Rashi is saying words. This is a concept of Lashon HaKodesh, Kiddusha, an expression of Kiddusha. And now, not only do I see Kiddusha between me and you, it changes my perception of the entire Berea of this world. This is very fascinating. You saw it, I think, observation over here to see what's happening over here. And people, and unfortunately, there are people out there in the world that, you know, we live in a very strange world today, which certainly don't get the picture. They don't understand the Kiddusha. Ish v'isha is a davar shebi Kiddusha. It's not just a davar shebi Kiddusha between Ish v'isha. The davar shebi Kiddusha is a Kiddusha for the entire world. It's a Kiddusha in appreciating the entire world. When the Supreme Court legitimized same gender marriage, the Churban is Nerva Oyam. The Churban is Yoiker Kiddusha from the world. It's not Nakir of Kiddusha. Okay, you do whatever you want. Man, woman. The Torah says, Ki mi ishu lukochazos mikan, when a person has that hakara, when that Kiddusha has been breached, the Kiddusha of the Oilam suffers. It's a ripple effect. It's an effect which goes all the way back. So Shabbos, but it doesn't reveal, Hashem gave Shabbos Kiddusha, but it does not reveal that the world was created with Shabbos, with Kiddusha. Hashem, Vayikadesh, Hashem gave Shabbos, maybe Hashem gave Kiddusha to Shabbos through Morse code, some divine, but Hashem gave Shabbos Kiddusha. But giving Shabbos Kiddusha doesn't mean that the DNA of the world itself is Kiddusha. Hashem gave Shabbos the day, it's a holy day of Shabbos. Fine, it's a holy day of Shabbos. But the fabric of Shabbos is not holy. The fabric of Shabbos is mundane. No, the world was created with Kiddusha. The DNA, the actual, the Asar Ma'amaros, Shabbos Nivra Olam, was done with Kiddusha itself.
So Rashi got the idea.
Rashi is drawing from a Chazal. Loshoin Isha, it's a concept of Loshoin Neufel al Loshoin. Adam himself is expressing this idea. Look at that. Where did you come from? From me. I'm Ish, you're Isha. How do you have a right to do that? You have a right to go name a person Isha because of the similarity to your letters? This concept, Rashi says, Chazal say, is unique to Loshoin HaKodesh. And therefore, if Adam is making use of this, and Adam, okay, that part, that jump, Rabbi Nechemiah said, it needs a little bit more explanation, but this is, Rashi says, this is a revelation that the entire world came through Kiddusha.
Who named Adam?
Who named, I think Adam himself named himself Adam. I think so, I believe so. He came from, Adam has two meanings, Adama, he comes from the earth, and it means similarity. Adame lo Elyon. I am similar to the Most High. I am similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Let's discuss briefly Cain and Hevel. What's the ma'isa with Cain and Hevel? Cain and Hevel, they bring korbanos. Okay, so what happens? Let me find the psukim. Okay, we have here Vayhi Miketz Yomim Vayavi Cain Mipri Hoadam Min Chol Hashem. Cain was the good guy. Kayin, he brings Bipriho Adama a mincha. Hevel, look what Kayin is doing, so let me also bring a carbon. Vayisha Hashem So Hashem, Kayin brought a carbon, and to whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu turn? To which carbon does HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept? Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'yel minchasa. V'yel Kayin v'yel minchasa loisha. Hashem does not turn. Vayicha le Kayin ma'oid vayip l'ponov. What happens? Kain cannot contain his jealousy. Kain look at what's going on over here. This is the beginning of the world. This is not 2016. We're not dealing over with a Hefkevelt. We live in a world of Hestaponim. A world there's no din v'cheshbon. Everything is. It's not seen. The din v'cheshbon. We're dealing here at the beginning of creation. The yitzir kab shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate maisa. The ultimate concept of tzaddik v'ralo. No one talks about this. Is expressed right here. You have two people. You have a tzaddik hevel. Tzaddik. He brings a beautiful carbon to Hashem. Hashem accepts the carbon. And then you have a Rasha. You have Kayin. He brings a carbon, and Hashem rejects it because he's a bad person. He was insincere. So who should get the reward? Who should be punished? Hevel should receive the reward. Tzadik v'toivloi. And Rasha and Kayin should be punished. And instead, what happens? Hevel, the tzadik, is murdered. He dies. Doesn't say he has children. It's all over. His entire existence has come to an end. A person that was created, a child of Adam Harishon, the Yitzir Kap of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzaddik, he came into this world as a good person, he earned a living, he earned a good parnasa, he served Hashem with his full heart, Hashem accepted his carbon, and the next day he is murdered in cold blood.
Who brought the first carbon?
Adam brought the first carbon, Chazal say. It doesn't say that in the Torah, though.
What did he bring?
Adam, he brought a unicorn. he brought a shor.
Who brought the second carbon?
Hevel, Kayin.
Kayin. So Kayin really was the one who brought the carbon before Hevel.
But Hashem didn't accept his carbon.
Because of his, whatever it was.
But Hashem did not accept. My question over here is, how could it be?
So Hevel copied.
Yeah.
He copied Kayin.
Hevel copied Kayin. Yeah, he did. It says he did. But even though he copied Kayin, but nevertheless, Hevel was sincere.
But Hevel, the basic idea was
Kayin. So it makes the question even worse. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't. But the problem here is Hevel was good person through and through. He brought a carbon, L'Shem Shemayim. He brought a carbon, and Hashem accepted it. That is a testament that he was a good person. But Kayin, no, but he's still the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his carbon is an indication he's a tzaddik. And yet, he was murdered in cold blood. Kayin, on the other hand, he lives. He lives, he does tshuva. Hashem gives him a dog to be his assistant, an ois l'kayin, whatever that means, in the letter vav, he has a dog, different interpretations, and he lives, and he has children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and they live all the way into the Dor HaMabul, My high, tzaddik v'raloi, the tzaddik hevel, is cut off from this world, there's nothing left of him, rasha v'toivloi, and the rasha, Kayin, who did a terrible thing, he lives. This is not my bar. I saw this in a safe. I don't remember where I saw this. Maybe it'll come to me in a few moments, but I saw this somewhere, this observation. Rasha v'toivloi. And over here, the Rasha, he lives for hundreds of years. How could this taka be? So there is one pasuk which. So it's a very great challenge. It's a very great challenge to Emunah. How could this be? How could it be? And we're not dealing over here in 2016. We're dealing here in Maaseh Bereishis. We're dealing here with the Yitzir Kap of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And right away in Maaseh Bereishis we have the most difficult concept to deal with. So there is one thing we have to keep in mind. Now
another point.
Yeah, quick.
They were born before the Chavay from the Eitz Hadas, right?
No.
They were born...
No. Yes, because the Chavay Tzira later...
I don't know. Okay. I think there are different opinions. That's exactly when they were born. They were born before, they were born after. Some say they were born before.
So were they bigger tzaddikim than Adam HaRishon?
It's not.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Now there's one more point that you have to keep in mind, and this is a very powerful Musar Haskel for all of us. Pasuk of Hey, Vayeda Adam Od Es Ishtoi. Vatelidain. Adam had a third child. What was the third child of Adam? Vatikra Eshro Shes. Why was he called Shes? Shes means to set. Kishosli Elokim Zera Acher. Hashem has set for me, has given me another child, Tachas Hevel, to replace Hevel, Ki Harago Kayin, because he was killed by Kayin. Now, I'm not going in that way. I saw this Vart, he starts going into Gilgulim, which I'm not going into. It is Fluffy Pshutai. Adam Harishain had a third child. And that third child, in the mind, it's not like today where people they have given the same exact name. But in the Torah, it's clear as day that this child would carry on the legacy of Hevel. Hevel was killed in cold blood. They didn't make for Hevel a monument. They didn't make for him a yeshiva. Adam had another child.
Adam had more children. So
right. Okay. Banu Banos. Banu doesn't give us those. Yeah. So we don't know where those child. But those children did not have a tafkid. Those children did not have a tafkid. The child, Shes, is explicit in the Torah. Not like today where you call the child by the same name. They didn't call children by the same name as someone who died. That wasn't the custom. But he called him Kishosli Elokim Zera Acher Tachas. Tachas is a very powerful word. To replace Hevel. Ki Harogo Koyin. What came from Hevel? From Hevel came Noach. From Shes came Noach. Go down the whole line, comes Noach. When the Mabel occurred, was there anything left from Cain?
Yes. Yeah.
No. Okay. The wife. Okay, so that's a medrash in the Chanani, but explicitly. Let's focus on something mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. You're right. So I think everyone spoke about that. Do we still preserve Cain? But if you read the psukim, it doesn't say anything about who was Noach's wife. So you read the psukim, lefi pshutai, okay, and of course everything is true, but let's look at the Torah's focus. There is nothing left of Cain. What year was the Mabel? How many years was the Mabel?
1656.
1,656 years. It took 1,656 years until HaKadosh Baruch Hu settled the score. The tzaddik was Hevel. The Rasha was Cain. The tzaddik was murdered in cold blood. Les din v'les tain. No, he got away with it. Cain lives. He lives a good life. He even has a dog. He has a good life. He has children, grandchildren. They populate the world. But 1,656 years later, there is absolutely nothing left of Cain. And all of his children, all of his descendants. And yet Hevel, okay, it's not exactly Hevel, because Hevel was killed, but Shes, who was a person that was designated to carry on the legacy of Hevel, he lives on. He lives on. The Musar Haskel is, took 1,656 years. Don't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one of the first lessons in the Torah. The question that bothers us, that there is no answer for. There is no answer. Moshe Rabbeinu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadik v'ralo Rasha v'toivloi. It's the first issue in the Torah. But when you get to the end of the parasha, the Noach Motzachin, that really is the answer. It was Noach that was Motzachin b'in. It's the last pasuk of the parasha. Noach was the descendant of Shes, who was the replacement, the one that carried the legacy of Hevel. What about Cain's descendants and Cain? He's been around for 1,000. They are not Motzachin b'enei Hashem, and they are slated for termination. So the Musar Haskel is, you never know. You never know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon, and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, everything will work its way out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Yeah.
Did you see anything about why there's no explanation of Hevel's name? You get an explanation for Cain's name, you get an explanation for Shem's name.
There's probably in the Medrash. I'm sure in the Medrash it must, they must, the Mefarshim must speak about it. I don't know the answer, but I'm certain that...
Right,
it means vanity. Or it means it doesn't only mean vanity, it means other things. We had in the King Koheles, Havel, Havelim, seven Hevels. There are seven Hevels. It means more than vanity. There are other interpretations. I don't know the answer, but the Mefarshim, without question, they speak about it. Probably a good place to look is in Koheles. In Koheles, when you're in the beginning of Koheles, when it talks about Havel, Havel, Kol Havel, there are probably Maramakamas to find good translations for the word Hevel and the deeper meaning of what it means, and that certainly can relate to Hevel. Okay, let's just go one on just type some other quick things. Another quick idea. Why doesn't it say the word Vayihi Chein in reference to Or? After every one of the days, it says, for example, it was so. The word Vayihi Chein appears after almost every single mimer, except in the very beginning, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. We would expect the pasuk to say Vayom Elokim Yihi Or Vayihi Chein, but it doesn't say that. It says Vayihi Or. So this is a question which many of the commentators deal with. One answer given by the Das Zikenim Bali Hataisis, the back of the Mikros Gedolos, is that the word Vayihi Chein has a connotation that it did not happen instantly. It was a process. Hashem says Yikavu Hamayim Mitachas Hashmayim El Mokom Echad V'Seira Ehayabasha. This didn't happen in an instant. It took time. Some people tell us that it took 1,000 years. And when it says there was one day, Yom Echad, and my Sibarishis took 1,000 years, 10,000 years. They tried to find the evolution in my Sibarishis as well. Okay, but one thing is certain. Even if it only took one day, Gzuntait, if it was one day of 20, it didn't happen in an instant. It took time. The words Vayihi Chein have a connotation that it's a process. It's not going to happen right away. There's a process in it developing until it achieves its goal. When it came to Or, the Das Zekenen, Mibale HaTaisvis, it says, the creation of Or took place in an instant. Vayom Elokim Yihi Or, that's it. Vayihi Or. In one instant. It was not a process. Therefore, there is no need for the pasuk to say...
You can't have a process by light. As soon as you have a drop of light...
That's it, it's there, it's this light. Vayihi Or. So I want to say a drush. Or in Chazal also refers to Torah. And when a person, he learns Torah, when it comes to everything a person does in life, it's a process. When a person wants to build a house, when a person wants to earn a parnassah, everything is a very slow process. It's very painful. We all know that. Nothing good comes instantly. You have to plan. You have to maneuver through all the obstacles to get to where you want to be in everything you do in life until you achieve satisfaction. But there is one thing in life that you don't have to wait, and that is the study and the learning and the fulfillment of Or. What is the ultimate R? Chazal say, Ein R, Ella, Torah. Vayihi R. Just like the creation of light brings instant gratification, a person could expect to derive instant satisfaction from learning, from connecting himself to Torah. This is something which is the person's purpose, his tafkid, as the parsha begins, Beshvil Reishis, Beshvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, Beshvil Torah. There is no Vayihi Chein. The study of Torah is something which is complete in its own right. Okay, let's conclude something. Okay, the other things, I don't have time. Just let me maybe conclude with two little short things. We'll conclude. Number one, why doesn't it say Toiv in reference to the creation of Adam? Vayar Lakim. But yeah, it says after every single day, my sabrashis, Hashem saw that it's good. Vayalakim saw or ki toif, except for Monday. So it says toif two times on Yom Shlishi, on Tuesday. But when it comes to the creation of man, it doesn't say the word toif. It says Vayar Elokim es kol asher osa v'hine toivmod. Hashem includes Adam in the entire creation. Adam, the purpose of creation, did not get its own unique toiv. Adam was only nichlal when Hashem concluded everything he did on the sixth day. So Hashem looked back at all 6 days. Adam, you also can go into the tent. You also, vayar Elokim es kol asher osa v'hine toivmod. Why doesn't Adam HaRishon deserve his own
title? Well, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Could it turn out to be a tzaddik? Could it turn out to be a rasha?
Okay, that's an idea. Yeah. That's one idea. Okay, maybe. Okay, you have to think about that. But I want to say a bit of a drush. I want to say a drush. There's another place in the Torah where the word toiv is left out. And where is that? In the Aseres HaDibros. We have two Dibros. We have the first Dibra, and we have the second Dibra. In the first set of Dibras, the word Toiv doesn't appear. By Kibud Av V'Aim, it does not say the word Toiv. In the second set of Dibras, it says, L'man Yitav Loch V'Harachta Yamim. So Chazal take note of this, they ask the question. The answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aware that the first set of Luchos would be shattered by Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Chas V'Sholayim Posko Toiva Mi'Yisrael. Chas V'Sholayim, it should be lost. It should be lost, the toiv from Klal Yisrael. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose not to write toiv in the first set of Luchos, and he waited for the second set of Luchos. We can perhaps suggest the same thing in regard to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was not given the Torah, by the way. He was not given the Torah. Zes Sefer told us, HaAdam, Chazal Darsh, and Zes Sefer, the Sefer Torah, was not given to Adam. Torah to Adam was Mekayim called Torah Kula, but not, he was not given, Torah was given to Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that the entire tekufa of Adam HaRishon until Avraham Avinu would be batal. The world really didn't begin until
Toyu
Vavo, the 2,000 years of Toyu, before the Mais Liberatius, and then until the creation of Adam HaRishon. It became, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, I want to say a derech drush, Adam, Klal Yisrael, Atem Kiruyim Adam. Klal Yisrael is called Adam. Klal Yisrael, they're called the ultimate Adam. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have said in regard to the creation of Adam, Vayar Elokim ki toiv, Adam is toiv, but this first edition of Adam HaRishon would be more or less bottle. Adam HaRishon, the Mabel, the Dor HaFloga, the Dor of Avraham Avinu, that generation, they all, nothing became of them. The first one to recreate, to redefine the meaning of Adam was Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Yaakov, going on to Matan Torah, to where Klal Yisrael achieved the state, Atem Kiruyim Adam. You now are called Adam. So being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Adam would be bottle, Chas V'Sholayim Poska Toiva Mi Yisrael. Hashem deliberately did not write the word Toiv by the creation of Adam, because this Adam would be incorporated into the ultimate Adam of Klal Yisrael, which would redefine the nature of Adam. And since this Tekufa is a Tekufa of Toyu Vavo, if we were to say Toiv on this Tekufa and this would be bottle, it would have the ramifications would be Poska Toiva Mi Yisrael, which would ultimately take on the shame of Adam HaRishon. So therefore it's by design that the word Toiv is not here. To conclude, I've left out a very good word I wanted to tell you. I knew I was bothering something. That was a really good word, and it's too late now. Okay, but we'll save it for another time. But I knew I was forgetting something. But in the meantime, this week is also Shabbos Mevorchim. Mevorchim Chodesh Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan. There are no mitzvahs. Cheshvan in Chazal, in Tanakh, is called Chodesh Bul. Bul. Beis Vav Lamed. The Rashonim say Bul is Rosh Tevos. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoysai. It's Beficha uvilvavcha. After you come through the Yimei Tishrei, Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoysai. Chazal say the Ikar, we recite Kiddush Levana. Rosh Chodesh is the time when we anticipate the renewal of the moon. The most significant Rosh Chodesh of the year, we all think, is Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rosh of the Rosh Chodashim. Then you'll tell me it's Nisan. Nisan is the most significant because it's Rishnu Lechem L'Chodesh Hashanah. But the truth is, there's another Rosh Chodesh that's just as significant and maybe even more significant than Tishrei and Nisan. And that is Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Because what is Rosh Chodesh? It's renewal. And the Bria took place in Chazal, Zehayim Chilos Masecha, the Bria took place in Tishrei, according to one opinion at least. So that means the first time the moon was renewed was Cheshvan. What's the nusach in
destroyed in Cheshvan.
What?
It was destroyed in Cheshvan.
It was the world was destroyed. Okay, but the first time the moon.
Yeah.
The first Mylid.
The first time there was renewal. There was the kaz of Hischatshus. Was Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Hashem created the moon. So the moon was there, and the moon was created. It wasn't a renewal. When we look at Rosh Chodesh, we look at Rosh Chodesh as a renewal. It's a Hischatshus, like we learned today in Yirmiyah. So when Hashem created the world in Tishrei, okay, so that's it's Chodesh, it's new, it's brand new. But then the moon got smaller and smaller. And when it came Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Hischatshus. It's the beginning of Hischatshus. So on Shabbos Bereishis, it's not just the first Shabbos. It's Shabbos when we mevorech Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. It's the first time that we focus on the concept of Hischatshus, of renewal. Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan is not a Pashur Rosh Chodesh. And when you mevorech Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, it's not a simple Birchas Rosh Chodesh, because it's the first of its kind, the first time to focus on the concept of renewal. May we all be zoicha to Hischatshus and enjoy a wonderful Shabbos. Good Shabbos.